This episode brought to you by Own the Gray podcast. Discover how others age with attitude at ownthegray.ca.
Rich people, very rich people, they arrive to a point where they have everything they want and more. Most of them continue being empty and unhappy. Those people that you really should admire are those that independently of that they have money, they have understood what life is about. Right. And life is about really being happy because, again, the happier I am, my energy is contagious, the happier the world becomes.
Right.
Then if everyone loves a little bit more herself or himself, this energy expands.
Yeah.
And we want to save the world by going to Africa and help someone. No, come here and help your mom to wash the dishes. That it's an act of love. And love yourself a little bit more. And the world will be transformed on its own.
The best conversations happen when we're having lunch with our friends, especially when one is a healer. Pull up a chair and join us to expand your knowledge and open your mind.
Today we're talking about loving ourselves and how that translates to a happier life with certified happiness coach, Judith Costa. And welcome, Judith.
Hi, Susan. I'm thrilled to be here with you today. Thank you.
I'm thrilled. I'm very excited about this because this is a topic that I've always had difficulty with. And I think it's the heart of most people's issues. So let's dive in. Let's start first. I'm curious about your own personal journey to self-love and then to coaching others.
Yeah, I was thinking like, welcome to the club, Susan, and me too. The reason why I do what I do is because it really transformed my life. And I didn't have any idea when I was struggling. And I had physical problems and emotional problems. I was dealing with depression and my relationship with my husband was not working. But I just saw the results of not knowing exactly how to love myself. Many of us go through life self-sacrificing, not being able to put ourselves first because there must be some ideas about our upbringing or religious beliefs, or we just don't know. It doesn't come for us natural. And we think that others go first. And let me tell you that one of the most amazing things about loving yourself unconditionally, no matter what, is that you discover that you are the source of love. And the more you have, the more you can share. And a lot of people have difficulties connecting with self-love because they feel it's selfish. They feel like it's not the kind of love that I want. But we will see. We will have a full conversation today. But we will see that the way you really become happier is by choosing to love yourself, choosing happiness every day when you wake up in the morning. It's not a feeling. Love is not a feeling. It's a state of being. When I say a conscious decision, it's like you cultivate that. You choose this instead of allowing you to be a victim of the circumstances or to like lose your balance because someone has been rude to you or because you have problems. You can be happy and have problems.
Exactly.
Both combined.
Exactly, because that's life.
Yeah.
You can't get away from it. What was your journey? What modalities did you use? Did you have a coach? Was there a significant
book? I need a couple of interviews more.
Okay, how about a concise?
The idea that really transformed my life was the concept of soulmates. And it's very funny because I'm a romantic. I always believed in love, even though I didn't experience that like unconditional love that I teach nowadays. But I read a book from Brian Weiss, Only Love Is Real. And I always have been interested in happiness and self-help. I was tempted to study psychology instead of advertising and doing an MBA. And I didn't. But it has been always like something that goes with me, the way we behave and how the mindset affects and all of these ideas of quantum physics. And at that moment, I was living in Spain and there was no worship like mine on how to love yourself. And I don't believe in traditional psychology. Anyway, I start having dreams with someone that so intense was my desire to find my soulmate that show up through my dreams. And then it's when I did this a master in psychology and psychotherapy based on the teachings of Carl Gustav Jung, that it's the one of the most important persons that with Freud and others that studied the unconscious and the power of the dreams in our lives.
Right.
And from that, it was just putting together different tools like astrology as a way to know myself. And then I got divorced and I wanted really to find my soulmate. I moved to the US to become a certified coach and to change my career. And I found my soulmate and I got married in New York with that person. But I keep adding more tools. Like I studied past life regression with Brian Weiss because all of these tools allow me to help people to tell them if they were in a soulmate relationship or how to find their soulmates. And that was the beginning of everything. And then I add these Akashic records. It's more than a tool, but let's say another modality. And so on, so on. I love to learn and I became a certified happiness trainer. And I'm still learning everything I can every day. But the funny thing was that I recognize that the lack of love in relationships, the difficulties to find true love was mostly, I mean, it's one of the most important, there are many, but I would say is because we don't love how to, and we don't know how to love ourselves. And then suddenly the business changed. And instead of helping people to find love, I started helping people to find love within themselves, to find love. It's nowadays what I do the most, and all the different tools that I have are just ways to approach to what is missing, what is holding us back, to really connect with who we are in essence, with this love that is already within yourself. You don't have to go out there to look for it. You already have it. Maybe you are not connected, you have forgotten how important you are, but you can reconnect, and this is what I do.
Okay.
With passion.
I can see that. I can see that. And it's wonderful. But I do have a few questions on what you've just said. So you said that you were dreaming, you were trying, it was kind of a form of manifestation, I suppose, to find your soulmate. And you were doing, you know, what you're supposed to do when you manifest. And in your dreams, you had asked for it. And but at that point, you had already found self-love, I would imagine. What came first?
No, I was in the process. No. I was still married. And that helped me to really understand what love was. There was a moment where my nights, my dreams were better than my real life, my day life.
Okay.
But I still love my husband so much. And I thought the love was that. Like, you have to be here and you have to make it work.
Right.
And let's just stay. And I was more unhappy and more depressed. And I couldn't really fix anything. Even though I had help and I was trying hard, things were not changing. Until there was a moment, there was one, these 2 years, I'm talking about 3, 4, 5.
Okay.
There was one day that I had this aha moment where I say, wow, now I get what... Okay. Loving yourself is what true love is, and I'm not experiencing in my life. Then I had that conversation with my husband, and we tried to kind of detach and divorce several times, and we came back together. And we say, yeah, that's the last time. I mean, let's part ways. And even though I still love him, right, and that's undeniable, I think that there is a moment where just saying I love you is not enough.
Right.
And loving yourself is what gives you the power to abandon that relationship. I mean, with responsibility, you cannot just run away because you have found your soulmate. You just have to really do the things in a way that you don't hurt others and you are responsible for what you have in your life. But anyway, I got divorced not to go with that soulmate that helped me understand that through my dreams and through encounters and synchronicities and everything I discover. I did it the first time not knowing, as you say, the process of manifestation was because so intense was my desire that it just happened.
Right.
But the second time I knew. Then I did it on purpose. And then what I was teaching in my workshop, How to Find Your Soulmate, was the result of my personal experience in self-love and soulmates. Like all of this put together.
Okay.
But the universe has had other plans and say, no, you are going to really teach self-love.
That's really interesting. So it was almost an epiphany when you realized that it's all about loving yourself. Is that kind of what I'm hearing from you?
No, it was more the realization that love is not that conditional idea that sells to you. Like, I love you until we are together. When we are not together, then I stop loving you. Okay. And I love you because you are the way I like you. And if you're not the way I like you, I stop loving you.
Okay.
And all these messages that we receive when we are kids, like, unless you're a good girl, I'm not going to love you. Then we all have this idea that love is kind of an exchange. It's conditional. Okay. And we go through life looking for it desperately. Like, please love me, when it's already in. And I was doing that very well. I was trying to please others. I abandoned myself in relationships. Then there was a moment where I put the dots together and I say, yeah, the problem is not out there. It's in here, Judith. And you have to start loving yourself first, because the more you love yourself, the better you can love others. If I have love, I don't need your love. I can share with you.
Right.
But I'm not a needy person. I'm not with you because I'm lonely.
Right.
If I'm not judging myself, I'm not going to be judgmental with yourself, because I know what kindness and compassion and understanding are.
Right.
Then that was really the aha moment. Like, love, to be true love, has to be unconditional. And this is what really connects soulmates. It's this idea of eternal love and a bond of unconditional love. And we don't get it here. The love that we experience when we grow up and we have with other people, it totally depends on many things around. I believe that not many people have the luck to have conscious parents that love themselves, that they are able to really allow them to be authentically them. We all come here with a purpose, and I think that my purpose was to really discover that and learn it on my own, and then share this philosophy of life, maybe, and all of these things with others, then it makes sense that I had to go through these experiences to really feel it and understanding until a point where I can share from my heart to your heart, not what I read in a book.
Right. So you have to love yourself unconditionally to be able to truly give yourself permission to not be a people pleaser, to not do all these things that you've been mentioning, and also to truly find your soulmate and love someone. You are a teacher of Akashic Records, and I'm very curious about this. I've actually not heard of this. Please explain, elaborate on what this is and how you're using it.
Oh, it's fascinating. It's not a modality. It's really a way of being. I had to wait because I discovered the concept one day changing channels in TV. And then when I moved from Spain to New York, there was no teacher. And I had to wait until really the right person to teach me appeared when I moved to Florida. It's very funny how sometimes life has this way of guiding you. And I'm going to explain that the Akashic Records is like if it's the book of your soul. Everything about you is recorded. Every thought, every feeling, every experience, every word you say. Like this conversation that we are having is being recorded from your perspective, Susan, from my perspective, with my feelings and your feelings, with your ideas and my ideas. And it's more than a book. It's like video.
Okay.
With everything. Then where is this information? Like it's your photos are not on your phone. They are in the cloud, no?
Right.
Here is more or less the same. There is a field of information that it's pure energy.
Right.
And we can tap into, we can connect with this field of information and receive the guidance, receive the support, receive the healing. Then who is the person or the being that is going to give us this access or this information? they don't really have a body or a name or anything. They are not compared to angels, archangels. No, it's a different thing. It's pure energy. We put them a name because humans like to label things.
Yes.
And we call them masters of the Akashic Records, but they are really pure unconditional love. They meet you where you are, and they give you what you need right now at this moment. And in the context of the Akashic Records, you're not going to receive only information or guidance and support. You can ask any question you want, and you are going to receive an answer. But we can also do healing, because most of the problems that we have in order to even love ourselves or others is that we don't know how to forgive, we don't know how to release, we don't know how to let it go. Then we get stuck in certain moments in the past where we experience maybe something very traumatic, but it can be like I had an argument with my brother 10 minutes ago.
Right.
Then if I say, okay, doesn't matter, I don't need him to forgive me, but I need to forgive myself to move forward. But if at the end of the day I decide that I just want to disconnect from this energy and it doesn't make sense to continue in that like argument, I'm going to release it. But if not, it's going to be there one day after another, after another, after another. And what happens is that at the end you have so much baggage that you carry at an emotional level that you cannot continue. And then something happens. It's an illness. It's a crisis. It's that your relationships don't work. It can show up in your life in many different ways, but it really is going to stop you. And you will have to do something because you're going to feel stuck.
Wow. That's really interesting. How do you tap into someone's Akashic
pretty energy? Simple. Even if it seems a little bit science fiction, we have a prayer trained by Akashic Records Consultants International called ARCI. Then we have trainings, and I don't have a gift. I have been trained. There are 4 levels of training. And you can learn just to open your own Akashic Records in a weekend. In 2 days, Saturday and Sunday, 2 complete days, you learn everything you need to do journaling, to ask questions, to receive, to do the healing and everything. And we use a prayer that is a combination of words. That is like this key that you put at the door to access somewhere. Then that's the same. It's a combination of words and you just have to learn it. And that's it.
Really? So you're not an energy healer. You don't have a special gift.
Before learning, I didn't do any time in my life, any intuitive reading or anything like that. I have to say something, that since the moment I learned in level 1, it felt very, very natural for me. I felt like I have been doing this all my life. And I will say most probably in past lives, I already learned this. But in this lifetime, it was totally new for me. I'm not a psychic. I'm not a medium. This is not an intuitive reading. It's something totally different. The information comes from a different place. It, you feel totally supported, totally guided. And even it's funny because I said, I'm not going to teach that. I just want to become a consultant and do one-on-one private sessions. And when I was in the moment of deciding to become a happiness trainer, there was a meeting for the teachers for the Akashic Records. And I say, but I have 4 programs already on my own. I teach in 2 languages, Spanish and English. I have many things to do. I don't really want to teach 4 more levels.
Right.
Then I ask for guidance. And the next morning, I receive an email just with a sentence from a woman called Monica Saul, who became my client, saying, do you teach classes of the Akashic Records? Dot. That was it. Say, oh God, now life, the universe is asking me to teach classes. And now here I am, teaching classes of the Akashic Records. 4 more levels in 2 languages to anyone that really want to learn this.
Okay, so this person who became your client, you guided her using the Akashic Records and then she learned it on her own? But you were her
No, coach? the classes, coaching is a different thing. What I can do, for example, is I can coach someone. This morning I had a session. Then I have access, because I am trained, to the coaching session. Then I can open the Akashic Records of the coaching session that I'm going to have with the client. And the client is paying for a coaching session.
Right.
She is not interested in doing Akashic Records. But me, as me, I can ask for support and guidance while I'm coaching someone.
Exactly.
And you can open the Akashic records of a party, of a business, of a healing session, whatever you want. The Akashic records permeate all your life. I write my blogs. I do my creative work with the Akashic records open.
That's unbelievable. So it's not like a spirit guide. It's beyond that. So
no, because here, what we say is that in the moment I open the Akashic records, I'm exactly like now. I can be opening right now your Akashic records and you're not going to notice any difference. I'm not in any other state of consciousness. I'm perfectly here, open eyes, talking to you, very normal. But what happens within the Akashic records is that we become what they call like a pillar of light. Like the information comes from above.
Okay.
And there is a sensation of, some people do, I don't. But what I have, the clarity, is that when I ask the question that the client is asking, and suppose that this is a session, no? And you say, Judith, what do I have to do to improve the podcast? And then I ask the question for you and say, what Susan has to do to improve the podcast? And for me, it's like listening to the radio. They like whisper in my ear, tell Susan this and this and this and that. And you can ask, okay, give me an action plan. And they will tell you, what you should do is like now go to Spotify or now do this thing. But I'm not elaborating anything. I'm like totally innocent. I just have to be the perfect person to repeat what I hear, what I see, what I feel that is for you without adding anything from my belief system, my ideas. The best consultant is the one that is totally neutral and objective.
Exactly.
And just repeat what is given to you. And the information that people receive, it's received with so much love, with no judgment, that one of the things that people say after a consultation is, it's the first time someone tell me what to do, I receive guidance with no judgment included. That's like, it feels so loved, so approved. The self-pressure is ours. They look at you and they meet you where you are means that whatever you decide to do is fine. There are no mistakes.
Right.
You don't get it now. Don't worry. You'll get it next time.
That is really interesting. Okay. We're going to have to go on because I could do a whole podcast on this. I just think it's really fascinating.
So we'll do another one. No problem.
Oh, wonderful. So you're a certified happiness coach. And to me, I think that's quite the statement that in 2022, we have to have someone like yourself teaching us how to become happy, I mean, or even just feel inner joy. Isn't that unbelievable?
It is, but it's a great moment because I did my studies with Happiness Study Academy, and now they have a master in happiness with a university, and more people from all over the world are being trained, and now they are happiness chief officers in companies. Everything is really being transformed. It's just not human resources now. It's like the companies are interested in the happiness of the not only the customers, no, the employees, because if you make your employees happy, then they work better. And at the end, it's a win-win situation.
Exactly.
And for me, it's the same language. But when I speak with companies, I talk about happiness. And when I speak with individuals, I talk more about well-being and self-love.
Exactly.
Because the word love in the corporate world doesn't really
I can see that.
Go well. But they are totally interconnected because the way you arrive to real inner joy is by adding a little bit more love every day into your life. And self-love is a big concept. We haven't defined it, but of course it's being your best friend, but it includes many, many things from self-compassion to stop judging and criticizing yourself, self-acceptance, self-forgiveness, self-pressure, having fun in life, self-honor, knowing yourself, really understanding who you are, connecting with those things that really make you happy. Some people have difficulties in one area or other areas. The more popular will be like self-forgiveness, that it seems to be difficult.
Huge.
And yeah, all these self-acceptance, because we are so hard on ourselves. Mm-hmm. But for other people, it's self-expression. They cannot express their needs and desires. They don't have a voice. They have to find a way to really connect with, like, expressing that. Then it's pretty huge.
It's very that, and you answered a question I was going to ask beautifully, by the way. So self-love, does that equate to feeling worthy?
Yeah, self-worth. It's one of the areas, very, very important. The problem is that the understanding, the general understanding of self-worth is my value depends on what I have accumulated, what others think of me. Right. Nobody taught us, not in the school, not at home, that you are important as you are. You are valuable because you exist.
Right.
Then self-worth is not really connected to anything that you will do. Even if your life is a disaster, you are worthy.
Do you know, Judith, that's such honestly profound what you've just said, because we are, as children, not shown that at all. We are accepted for, as you say, what we achieve, and to actually achieve that feeling of feeling worthy because we exist, it's easily said, but it's such hard, it's such a hard concept to actually embody.
Yeah, because you go against everything everyone thinks, but right. Is their life working? I mean, ask yourself, when you interview rich people, very rich people, not like some hundreds of, and they arrive to a point where they have everything they want and more, most of them continue being empty and unhappy. Those people that you really should admire are those that, independently of that they have money, they have understood what life is about. Right. And life is about really being happy, because, again, the happier I am, my energy is contagious, the happier the world becomes.
Right.
Then if everyone loves a little bit more herself or himself, this energy expands.
Yeah.
And we want to save the world by going to Africa and help someone. No, come here and help your mom to wash the dishes. That it's an act of love. And love yourself a little bit more, and the world will be transformed on its own.
I agree. And boy, do we need that right now. So how does loving yourself change someone's life? How have you seen it change someone's life?
It impacts every area of your life, everything. Your level of abundance not only financial in general terms, your health, your capability to be productive, the way you organize your life, for sure your relationships. We have been spoken about this a little bit before. When I was traveling before COVID, I was giving a lecture that is called Loving Yourself is the Solution. And when I start, I challenge the people there sitting, say, tell me one problem that you have and I'll resolve it in terms of self-love. Whatever problem. Because the root of everything that is happening, we become ill because we lose balance. We lose balance because we are going against ourselves. And if we don't stop that, there is a moment that it's not only in our energy, it's physical. The body says, right. Please help me. I need your help.
Right.
We are in trouble here. When we cannot access to abundance, it's because the highest vibration possible is love. Then if we are not in alignment with that we want, if we are not at a higher vibration, then we say we want something, but we are not able to receive it. We feel we don't deserve, again, self-worth. Lack
exactly.
of self-worth equals, I can ask, but I'm not going to get it.
Right.
And the same in relationships. I'll explain it briefly before, but what if a relationship is when two mature individuals that already love themselves are together to share this love? I don't need anything from you. You don't have to sign any contract. Let's just be love together and create a different entity that it's we, but made out of love.
Right.
And I'm not asking you to solve my problems. I did this in my first marriage. I hope I knew better at that moment. Mm-hmm. I pretend that he make me happy instead of me knowing how to make myself happier.
Right. Yeah, 100% agree. So how can we show ourselves more love? And a lot of it is that voice in our head that is telling us such terrible things 24 hours a day. Can you just give me a few examples?
It requires practice and it's a process. I'm not going to say that you register in a workshop one day, or even you come to a one-week retreat and everything is going to be transformed, because if you don't embody all of those things, the change is not going to happen. But it's very, very simple. It's not complicated. It's just a matter of practice. And practice of what? As you said, and I am also very analytical, and I was very hard on myself, we have this inner critic. But we can shift the mindset. You can take your mind to the gym in the same way you take your body to the gym. When you are in the gym, your body gets transformed. No? It's more powerful. You know how to move it. It's more resistant. Then the same with the mind. When the mind is bringing all of these ideas about, you are not going to make it, who do you think you are, you're not good enough, you're an imposter, all of these not nice messages, let's say it this way, can be changed into more loving messages. We can become aware of what is happening inside of our minds, because you are not your thoughts. You are an observer of your thoughts. You are the consciousness that it's looking at you. You are not your body. You are not what you think of you. You may identify with that because nobody explained you, but you are the consciousness that it's looking. Then if you are looking, you can look mindfully and look without judging. Look through the eyes of love, with the intention of improving, yes. But through the eyes of love means with kindness, with compassion, right, with the understanding. You are not here to be perfect. If everyone right. will be perfect, it will be so boring.
Mm-hmm. Agree. Where's
we are here just, yeah, right. to grow. Then growing means I'm not going to do anything today that goes against myself. If I hear this voice, I'm going to substitute it. I tend to tell my clients, like, change the radio station. If you don't like the music, you're in the car, you're going to put a different station, no? Then change the radio station that you are listening all the day and go to, like, in Pandora, no? A different channel, like love songs. That's it.
You know, that's wonderful advice, but it's so difficult to do because we are patterned people, and it takes, as you say, a lot of practice to be mindful of the thought, and then it usually transfers to actually a feeling inside, like yeah. you just feel anxious or you've got a stomach, and to stop and do that, change the station. I have a question. So a client comes to you and they have issues, and you're coaching them. In your coaching, do you have to tell them or teach them how to release an old inner trauma, or is this basically just a practice of loving yourself, feeling worthy?
People ask me, what is the process? And I say, I don't have a process. I work with you individually. And when you come to me, we will see. But answering your question, I will say that there are clients that access or arrive to me through being interested in this workshop, one-day workshop, Fall in Love with Yourself. Then one of the things that they will learn there is the foundation, what love means, what self-love is not about, how to practice self-love, really practical tools, exercises, reflection. I coach every participant. My groups are small. Then when you end that day that we spend together, you have everything. But some people decide to do coaching because they want someone that takes them by the hand and goes with them through this process. As you were saying, I tend to like be this voice, no, that say, yeah, I'll try it. And I say, try? No, you will do it. Then someone that is showing constantly the pattern and helping you to realize saves you time. Because we are all busy and we don't have hours and hours to devote to inner work. But I'm also a person that believes in self-coaching and reading books and listening and exposing yourself to materials. There are many free resources. Then, even though I'm a professional of that and I'm here to help anyone, I will say you can do it on your own.
Okay.
People say it's difficult to change. And I say it's more difficult to get stuck where you are.
Well, yeah, absolutely. But there's a comfort in...
Yeah. Right? Attachment, yes.
An attachment to that, because I guess it's a fear of what if, or they are living in this victim mentality, and again, it's the comfort.
Again, even the people that surround you cannot be the best company. It's like, let's imagine that I tend to drink too much, and all my friends, we go together to the club or the pub or whatever it is, or we make parties and we all drink. And suddenly I decide that I went to this class of Judith on self-love, and I make a commitment with myself that I'm not going to drink. Then I continue hanging out with the same people because they are my friends.
Right.
But now it's not fun anymore.
Yeah.
Because I'm not drunk, they are, then doesn't work. And then they feel judged because I don't drink, they drink. Because I had the power to stop, but they didn't. Our conversation is not about the same anymore because new things are happening in my life. Then
right.
Sometimes the path of self-love separates you from people.
Yeah.
It's bumpy the road because you have been maybe a people pleaser.
Yeah.
And everybody's asking you things and you always say yes. And suddenly you decide to love yourself and someone asks and you say, no, I'm sorry, I'm not available.
Right.
I'll do it next week if you want, but this week I need to do something else.
Right.
And the other person say, wow, what happened to you? Suddenly you are not available. Ah, you have learned how to set up boundaries. You have find your both and your voice and strength, to say no.
Right.
And now your life is changed forever. But also the life of those that are around you.
Yeah. You must have seen some amazing transformations.
Oh, yeah.
Some of your clients.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. In all different ways. People abandoning corporate careers and devoting their lives to what is their passion. Relationships transform, single people getting married and having children. I mean, it's amazing. It's really, I'm fortunate to have this kind of work and being paid just to witness these kind of things.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Are self-love and vulnerability related? Allowing yourself to be vulnerable?
They are. I would say I see it more in the world of relationships because there is a moment that to love yourself means to be authentically who you are. You don't have a mask. You don't have this facade
exactly.
That you tend to go with it
right.
Through life, especially
right.
People that have like a job where they feel they cannot be themselves and that they have a personal life. Then that's very painful
right.
and creates a lot of trauma also because I'm constantly guarding myself.
Right.
Be careful, I cannot say this, I cannot show that. Then a lot of your energy is devoted to that protection. Then in the moment you say, this is me, really me, and you can talk about everything you want in front of anyone, and you don't really care if you're going to be judged. This is possible, by the way. And you stop comparing yourself with others. Then you are 100% vulnerable, but vulnerable in the good sense, not vulnerable weak. Vulnerable, that means that I am showing you everything inside of myself. The doors of my heart are open. But if you access, please don't break it.
Right. That's very powerful. And you're right. I mean, if you don't do that, then I believe there's so much of life that you'd be missing. If you're not authentic and vulnerable.
The world is missing you.
Right, right. Of all your modalities, how do you teach people to release? Do you teach them a lot of breathing techniques? What's your favorite modalities?
I mostly do it with the Akashic Records. We have a wonderful prayer on forgiveness that I can share if you want. Then I'll read it for you. And I'm also very fan of the Ho'oponopono that I have been trained also in Ho'oponopono. And I did another class with Joe Vitale and it was in combination with two teachers, another, that it was a hypnotherapist. And they just teach releasing techniques. And it was very powerful because there are little things here and there that you can switch. And I tend to tell people, here you have a pool of options. Choose the one that resonates with you the more. Because for me, it can be the Akashic records. But maybe you say, this, I don't feel related.
Okay.
Then I really resonate with just like making a list of things and really with my mind, going into my feelings, going into my body, just releasing them. Or as you say, you can use the breathing. You can use loving kindness. Then it depends on the moment I will suggest to the client, like this is what I will do. But again, I'm very open and I like that people choose. But let me read the prayer.
I'd love it.
It says, if there is anyone or anything that has hurt me in the past, knowingly or unknowingly, I forgive and release it. If I have hurt anyone or anything in the past, knowingly or unknowingly, I forgive and release it. If I have hurt myself in the past, knowingly or unknowingly, I forgive and release it. Then as you can see, it's very complete. It comes from every angle, like whatever I have done to me or others have done to me or I have done to others. But the forgiveness is not the idea that we have in religion that I have to forgive because I have to be a good person. Here it's like the Akashic records, these beings, have the power to take energetically all of these things that you want to release. Then they recycle the energy.
Really?
Then you put everything in a big bag, this garden bags rack that you can put a lot of stuff. Then you decide what are you ready to release and you put it there. And then you take it out of the house, like you take it out of you in the sense that I am giving you this. And they come with this Akashic Records recycling track and they pick it up. But if you don't take it out, they're not going to knock the door and say, come on, give me the bag. Come on. No. It depends on you, really. If you want to release, then you are asking for grace to be like to release those things. Then you're going to be helped.
Right.
That's the idea behind this prayer.
So it sounds like of all your disciplines, the astrology, the Reiki, meditation, dream interpretation, the self-coaching, the past life regressions, the Akashic Records sounds like, is that the one that you use the most?
Yeah.
Okay.
Nowadays, yes. They have really covered all of that. And to tell you the truth, when I started my career, if you see through the dreams, we have access to the unconscious. Through a past life regression, we have access to the unconscious. Through the Akashic Records, we have access to all past lives, the journey of your soul, everything that is stored in your unconscious. Then all of these tools, what allow us is to go deeper, because we can be talking in a session with a therapist or psychologist about what I see in my life. But that's like a 5% that I'm conscious about.
Exactly.
And as Carl Gustav Jung said, you cannot heal what you don't see.
No? Right.
Well, he used different words, but
right.
We have to make this material conscious. This is what happens in a dream. Suddenly you have a nightmare, and then you realize that you are so stressed.
Right.
And someone is going after you in the dream, and you're in danger and all of this. This is just a metaphor of, can you please stop all of this stress in your life that is creating nightmares in your day life?
Yeah.
The same way is happening in your nightlife.
Yeah.
Then the same with the karmic astrology. We have access to different past lives that are affecting us nowadays. Then it's not about the modality. I think that what heals is the alliance between a client and the coach or the therapist or whatever it is. There is something happens. There is a connection that you really trust the person. And as a coach, my philosophy is that I don't do anything. I know that the answers are inside of my clients. I just help them to find those answers.
Right. You're the facilitator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But illuminating the unconscious that governs 95% of our lives is very important.
I agree. I so agree. What would be a daily non-negotiable for you?
What is non-negotiable?
Yeah, on a daily basis.
Oh, since I got cancer, I had thyroid cancer again because I didn't listen. And I end up going through that experience. I've made certain commitments with myself. For example, I go for a walk no matter what every day. I spend 1 hour outside because I work at home. Then sometimes it's, yeah, I'll do it later. Later is tomorrow. Tomorrow is the day after. And I have been in my house for 3 days, not going out.
Right.
Then I do my Qigong exercises or yoga. I do some movement.
Okay.
I don't wait for tomorrow. If I want to like drink a glass of wine, I use the best glass. I don't keep it for the party. Then live now, live for the moment, for the present moment. I have my own schedule. I'm Spanish. Then I stop for lunch. I cook my meal. Properly, like today I had salmon with some rice and something else, then it's a preparation. Right. I eat, then I clean. Right. Then I have a schedule that allows me to have the kind of life I want. I don't go through life sacrificing all the time. And again, I love what I do, and sometimes it's difficult because for me, doing a session with a client is not my job. It's something that I enjoy. But I constantly remind myself that health is balance, that balance is having time for fun and for work. And I have projects. In the past, I didn't like my job. And from outside, like, oh, wow, you work in advertising or you work as interior design. It was like just nice. But this is, since I started doing this in 2011, this is the first time in my life where I don't need vacation from my life.
Yeah.
This is a life that I want to have. Then, yeah, I love to travel, and I love to travel and take people on retreats and put together both of my passions. But there is a different way of living, that you are not waiting for Friday evening.
Right.
That you are not mad at yourself when it's Monday morning.
Right.
When you get up and jump from out of bed because you are so excited about what is going to happen today in your day.
Wow. Wouldn't everybody love that? I mean, it sounds euphoric, honestly. Wow. Where can my listeners find you, Judith?
Well, everywhere in social media, but if they go to the website, there is this click in the every channel. And in the website, there is a contact form. They can shoot me an email or call me. The telephone number is there. And in the website is most everything, like the private sessions, the workshops, the retreats, everything about me. And there is a calendar of events. Then if I do a free lecture or the podcasts are also released there, then go there, subscribe, allow me to be connected to you. And if you're interested, let's continue growing together.
Wonderful. It has been a joy, and I just want to thank you. This has been really wonderful.
No, thank you, Susan, for allowing this, for making it happen. And it has been a pleasure having this nice conversation with you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, give us a 5-star review, and share it with your friends. And join us next time for Lunch with a Healer. Your thoughts with us. Your comments, questions, and suggestions are all welcome. Go to speakpipe.com/lunchwithahealer and record your message. Try it out today.